2 Timothy chapter 4. Yes, we've moved on to chapter 4. But in order to keep it in its context, we'll start with verse 16 of chapter 3. Just the reading. You follow along as I read from the New International Version. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Father, this is your word. We thank you, Lord, that our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are ever present here with us. And not just with us, but with people, your people, all around the world. We thank you for your word, which speaks to the minds and the hearts, the actions, the soul of every person who turns to you and listens to you while you may be found always in every generation. Lord, may your Spirit who is with us this morning guide my words and our thoughts together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have your notes today and your Bible open on your lap. Paul was addressing this young man who had a huge job before him. And he knows that this job was this young man was in way over his head in some respects. He had some people that were challenging him at every turn, challenging his leadership, challenging the God who they'd heard about and they'd claimed as their Lord, and yet they were struggling to follow, struggling in such a way that they were coming up with bad ideas as to what God's will was. And as Dennis read in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, and in this chapter, he calls out people that have been kind of figured that they still had their way, and they wanted to gather a group of people around them that would follow their ideology or their interpretation of the things of God. And Paul just says, here it is. Here's the straight scoop for you, Timothy. I just told you that God's word is God-breathed. He breathed the Holy Scriptures into the lives of his people over 1,600 years. And those words are for every single generation. Now, Timothy, here's your assignment. When they mount up a charge against you, and when they refuse to follow, when they challenge you and make you, they're pointing at you like you're a fool. And you have nothing to offer. Don't be afraid of your youth. Don't. Here's your assignment. Preach the word. Preach the word. In season and out of season. Preach the word. I want us to look this morning at the way Paul leads into this. It's a, whether you're using the New King James, the King James, the NIV, like I just read, the New American Standard. He starts out with a sentence that it's kind of long, but this is why I'm saying this with such authority. It's really quite black and white. Preach the word. He begins in verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. The New American Standard says it this way, I solemnly charge you. What's that all about? He's saying, I urge you. But this is a solemn charge. Why that kind of a expression? Because I'm standing before God, and this is God's message to you. And this is a solemn moment. This is a serious moment. Look who's behind me. Look who's, pay attention to who's listening as you read these words. Pay attention as you look out over the people that are your responsibility. Understand who's watching and weighing everything you say, think, and do. He knows that Timothy's going to read these words to the people in Ephesus. And these words are going to be read in every church that pops up. And once they get a copy of this letter, they're going to be reading to their congregation these words. This is a solemn charge I have. And God is listening to me as I speak. As an audience goes, you're small potatoes. I'm not afraid of you, Paul's saying to Timothy. Of course, don't be afraid of them, but this is a solemn charge that is coming from God. The New American Standard says that this God is this God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm standing before him, and you're listening before him. And he's the one who's going to judge the living and the dead. This is serious business. You're not listening to the mere words of a man. You're not listening to the ideas and philosophy of a mere man. I'm writing these words, and they're not my words. The one I've been listening to and the one I've been following, he's the one that has given me these words to write down in this letter to you. So they're coming straight from him, this one who judges the living. I'm one of them right now. And you're listening, and you're one of them. He judges the living and the dead. And so I give you this charge, this command, this urging. Witnessed to by Jesus, full of his authority and truth. Who's charging you? He is. And here's the charge. Preach the word. Not yourself. Not your philosophy. Preach the word. We live in a world that is full of all sorts of challenges. It's divided. We have authorities out there. And honestly, you know, whether you're reading the papers, you're reading the internet, you're listening to somebody from your political side of the aisle or persuasion, or you're listening to somebody who's got a lot of different ideas, responses to lots of the ills of our day, or the inconsistencies, or the systemic this or that, and what are we supposed to believe? Paul says, preach the word. The word is caruso, the Greek word. Kind of the way I remember this is, it sounds like that great singer, opera singer, whose name is Caruso. So I don't know that his name was intended to have any Greek derivation, but you know, it kind of helps me understand, you know, when he sang out. When my favorite Pavarotti sings, and you know, it's like, if I hear that voice of that long gone, amazing tenor, whoa, listen up. But it's not the voice, of the singer. It's not the voice of Paul. We don't know what he sounded like. He maybe had some squeaky. I don't know. I don't even know what Jesus. We don't have any recording of what Jesus sounded like. But preach the word that he bothered to give us. And the word caruso means to herald. To herald. It's like, you know, what do you think of when you think of heralding? You know, what school around here? Is that? What are you, Christian? Oh, of course, they're right down on Beach Boulevard, you know? And you herald, you stand, let's, you think of a street, somebody standing on a street corner and saying, hear ye, hear ye. And that's what the word is. Listen up. Listen up. I was listening to somebody preach from this text for a little bit of inspiration myself, and every often he says, some of you in my congregation are wondering where I come up with the songs that I talk about. And he said, I don't know. He said, maybe in the middle of the night, this song starts, it's impressed upon my mind based on something I've been thinking about. But he was talking about this word. It was, you know, I've to herald the message, to get it out there. And he said, this song started playing over in my mind. And I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. And the message was that you look to him and live. It's an old hymn. William Ogden wrote that in the late 1800s, after he'd fought in the Civil War became a songwriter, and he said, this song was just, I could picture Paul saying, get the word out, herald the word. You've got a message that is coming from the Lord, not from the newspaper, not from some philosopher of the day, not from some pastor. You've got a message that comes from the Lord. Don't be afraid of it, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of it. But it's not just for the pastor. He's reading this to the church at Ephesus from Paul. We have a message that comes from the Lord. Now get it out there. Not just the pastor, but those who listen to you. And then the Lord, those who walk out the door and into their neighborhoods and into the place where they work and into their small groups or fellowship, people that they share a lot of different things in common. You have this message, and you need to proclaim this message. Jesus left his disciples with this, with a similar sort of mandate. It kind of comes out, it's the end of his earthly walk, and he's about to ascend into heaven, and he says to the disciples, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now go, or wherever you go, get the word out. Make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I said to you. Teach them what? Everything I said to you. Everything. I didn't see you taking notes, John, and I didn't see you taking notes, Matthew, or Luke, or James. I didn't see you taking notes, but your responsibility now is to get the word out. When you go to your neighborhoods, when you go to the restaurant, get the word out. Herald his word, not your own ideas. What do you think about the, the server comes up to your table? By the way, a server came up to my table the other day, brought my breakfast to me. I was having breakfast with Danny Hall, and actually the server came to me on top of wheels. No, the server wasn't in a wheelchair. The server was a robot. Came dancing over to my table, parked itself right in between and said, please take your food. That's auto. That's what the people in the restaurant call them. Have you ever been to Denny's on Beach and Imperial? Take your grandchildren or take a friend, impress them with auto. The downside, auto might be a little bit confused. We were about ready to pay the bill, and auto came back with another couple of plates and said, please take your food. And I said, I'm not hungry anymore, I'm full. Please take your food. You know, when you go to the restaurant, don't try to strike up a conversation with Otto. Otto won't change, but doesn't know how to respond to that. But I would say, maybe you might have been thinking this week to say to somebody, so what do you think about the bank failures? Is that affecting you? I called my son in his business, and I said, so is the bank failure, what's happening with that? How is that affecting your payroll right now? Because he's responsible for that. Maybe you have some thoughts about that. In one sense of the word, who cares? I've got a message to share with people. You know, and it's not about the weather, and it's not about the server, and it's about what God has to say to us. He commanded us. And think of the words of Peter to Cornelius. Now, this was a very shocking day. It was an upsetting day to Peter. He'd been told that he was supposed to take and eat food in a vision, take and eat food that he was, all his life, he was not to touch these kinds of food. These were forbidden. They were unclean, and by God's order. And now he's hearing from God, take and eat. No, Lord, is this a test? Are you trying to see if I'll take the bait? I can just say, what kind of bait was that? Some pretty slimy bait, I think, that was on that blanket. But God said, no. What I call clean, don't you call unclean. Somebody's going to come knocking at your door now, Peter. And when he comes to take you to a place that you think is unclean, go with him. And he did, and he went to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. And he's on a mission to take the word. The word. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 10, verse 42. He's saying this now. He's trying to explain to Cornelius, this is why I'm here. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Back to chapter 4, verse 1. He's the one who's the judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Here's my word to you, Cornelius. Everyone who listens to him and turns to him, he's heralding. I have a message from the Lord. Here it is, Cornelius. Hallelujah. Everyone who turns to him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. We are to preach the word. At the end of this verse in the NIV, it says, preach the word, verse 2. Preach it with great patience and careful instruction. How do we know what to preach? There's so much here, isn't there? About a third of the Bible, no more than a third, is the New Testament, the words of Jesus and the epistles and the book of Acts. There's only a third. But how are we supposed to preach the word? What's the plan for a pastor, this pastor, and all the pastors that will follow? What's the plan to get the word out? Well, John MacArthur, he suggests that probably one of the best ways to get the word out is the way kind of the way I was taught. He does it much better. But he talked about the expository preaching, simply exposing people to what the word says. I didn't come with an idea and then looked for a scripture that would bolster my idea. Go to the word and read the word and speak the word and call attention to what the word says. And when you come to hear expository preaching, come to hear the word that is spoken. When you are involved in a home Bible study or in a small group, hear the words for what they say. Break it down and then move toward, what does this mean and what am I going to do with this? MacArthur talks about the value of, I'll just read these because I thought this was so helpful. Why do your preaching this way? Why not just throw out a topic? We're going to talk about, the topic for today is safety and, when the banks fail. That's my theme for today. I'm just going to talk about men and women's clothing. And let's see what the Bible says about that. Well, it says things pretty clearly, but no, expository preaching, start with the word and let the word take us. It allows us, MacArthur said, it allows us to speak the truth rather than the preacher's notions. Number two, it brings the preacher into contact with the Holy Spirit. Preacher, spend your time in the Bible with the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God always, always works this way, speaking through his word through the Holy Spirit. It forces the preacher to expose all of God's revelation. I had some guys, though, that they went to a very fundamental Baptist Bible college in Ankeny, Iowa. And they came, they were had been in my youth group. They came back and they said to me, this is a typical line, do you preach the whole counsel of God? And I, do you preach the whole counsel of God? Do you preach the whole counsel of God? I said, on what Sunday? You know, it's like, does that mean I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel every Sunday? He says a lot here. But the point was that when you preach the whole revelation of God, that revelation is impressed upon the heart of the person studying God's word over a week and over a month and over a year and over years. And as you preach, you realize that when I'm talking, as Mitten Shirley read today from Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 11, powerful scripture. And God his word doesn't come out, and it's not ever void of its meaning. And God will have his way when God's word is spoken in our hearing. This all comes together. Jesus was involved in the writing of those words. The Holy Spirit was involved. The Father was involved. Together, this is the whole counsel of God as we read God's word and preach from it. Preach it in its context. It challenges and changes the preacher. It does. And it changes the congregation. It's the one thing that we know for certain God wants us to proclaim. It is the one thing. I've got some favorite songs. I could build a whole message on some of my favorite songs. I could just read my favorite songs over and over again. And we sang some wonderful songs together. But that's not what we preach. We preach and we listen to God's word. He says, be prepared to do this. In season and out of season. In season and out of season. What does it take for a pastor, a preacher, to be ready? In season and out of season. What's that mean, in season and out of season? Well, that means it's every generation of mankind, every season of the year, whether it's hot or cold, raining or dry. It means whether people in our culture are angry or sad or happy, are in good moods, whether they are divided, the people that we speak to, divided and culturally mystified. Preach it in every season of life, whatever your culture is going through. Preach the word. Get the word out in season and out of season. But Lord, how do I do that? How can I be ready in season and out of season? We had a partial gathering of our young leaders this morning. And I asked the question of the one who showed up. I asked the question, so what's God been saying to you? And the reason why I did this was, you're supposed to be ready to tell me, buddy. I'm supposed to be ready to tell you, to this congregation of people that I'm speaking to today. So somebody walks up to you and sticks a microphone in your face on the street and says, "What's God been teaching you?" What would you say? Is there something fresh on your mind and heart, just like that? Or do you have to go, your eyes roll into the back of your head, and you think, I had a pastor friend that I worked for him. He was my pastor, and when I came back from seminary for the summer, I came back to be an intern under him. And Wendell Grout was an amazing preacher. He's still preaching to this day, well into his 80s. He's a conference speaker. But he said, I remember sitting in his office one day, and he told me about a friend of his that he said, "I have never been in this guy's presence when he didn't just have a fresh word from the Lord, just like that." He was walking with the Lord all the time. He was interacting with him in his routine duties. He was interacting, but it was coming, these were interactions right out of his word. He'd been in the word. You know, the Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We've said this. This is actually, one year, this was one of our themes. Be prepared. And Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, so you are always ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." Somebody comes up and says, "What's a good word?" And we say, "This is what God's been teaching me." Sanctifying Christ, you know, there are some words from Scripture that kind of maybe scare us. Sanctify Christ as Lord. Set him apart as the Lord in your life. It's, in one sense of the word, it sounds almost like, how do I say, "Okay, Lord, you be Lord now. You be Lord." That's what it really means. I mean, I've got my hands filthy. I was cleaning up our break room early this morning. My hands were filthy and smelling, especially when I tried to do it without a dustpan. And, you know, and I'm thinking, in this moment when you're dirty and you don't smell so hot, sanctify Christ as Lord in your, this is a holy moment with you, Lord. You're present. Rather than, this is just a random moment. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart so that you're always ready. And this is not a philosophical sanctifying Christ as Lord. What's he been saying to you in the last 24 hours? Has he been? Or have we all been like pinballs? Bing, 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 bing. You know, just bouncing off of whatever life dishes to us. May God's word be so much a part of our life that it's like one of these moments when I'm singing the song that we sang. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. You give and take away. You give and take away. These are reminders to us of things that we've read this week in God's word. And we've seen it very personally in the faces of our children and grandchildren, our friends who've been experiencing difficult times. And God's word is speaking to all these issues of life. because this one that I'm recognizing as Lord of my life is with me all this time. If a pastor is going to preach the word has to lay hold of the pastor. 24/7. Paul says, as you do this, as you preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. To do what? To correct, and to rebuke, and to encourage. He uses these three expressions. And they're actually, some of them are spoken of at the end of chapter 3. He's saying, as you preach, you're going to ask people to line their life up with God's word. And as you do this with yourself, don't read this as if it's for somebody else. Read it knowing that God is saying to you, John, you've been going down the wrong path. Your hope has been in what your kids think of you or what your congregation thinks of you. You've shaped your words based upon what those words might cost you, rather than shaped your words by the fact that, as in verse 1, I'm listening, I'm present. It's not your words, it's your audience, and I'm your audience. I'm your audience. Correct the ideas that they have that are out of line. The doctrine, what they believe about the Bible. Timothy, when you're there in Ephesus, correct those older guys that are rebelling against God and his word. And they're coming up with myths and genealogies and all sorts of other ideas which are sick. They're coming up with strange ideas as to who Jesus is in terms of his deity and his authority. Correct them when you preach God's word. But let his word speak the correction. And rebuke them to the extent that you can say, now, Hymenaeus, I want to sit down with you one-on-one and talk about this. And I want to tell you how you can deal with the fact that you've been preaching heresy and how you can recognize that you've been so far off. Correct, rebuke, take them alongside, encourage them, and point them back to me. And do this with a sense of urgency. Do it with a sense of, have patience, but also do it with a sense of, as he says in the last two words, with careful instruction. Get them back in the word and tell them what I said. Preach the word, not your philosophy, not the philosophy of the world. Preach the word. Some of your kids, some of our kids may be wandering. Some of your friends might have some strange ideas as to who God is and what he wants. Give them the word. But make sure you're giving them a word that is fresh in you. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. We thank you, Lord, that we have your word. And your word is, as my friend said to me this morning, it will keep me from sin. Thank you, Lord, that You invite me to make it a part of my life. And Lord, it's not whether we're proclaiming to a group or proclaiming to one person. Might we stick with these really, really important things that are breathed out by you. And now, Lord, I pray you'd send us off into this week, thankful that we can stand before you blameless, all because of what Jesus did for us. And thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that meets us day in and day out to communicate and make alive in us your word. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.